Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Jans, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution, creators of the most powerful marketing and communication software built specifically to meet the needs of insurance agencies and brokerages. If you haven't had a demo lately, folks, get one. I have seen the latest release of at least one of the products, blew my mind. So take care of yourself and get a demo. That said, I want to welcome you to a special episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast because you're going to love the guest. Before I introduce the guest, super quick favor, as we're approaching the beginning of the new year, I'm thinking, what do you want? How can I create the best podcast in the world for the retail insurance channel? And so I need to hear from you. That's it. I've done a fairly decent job, I think, guessing because the numbers, the audience numbers keep going up. And I do get feedback. This time I'm just asking kind of formal feedback. So I was going to put together a survey and ask four really significant questions and create a little URL, drive you there. And I realized, you know what? I got a lot on my plate and we are approaching the end of the year. So I'm going extra lean beef. I'm just asking you now. I would like to know for 2019, whatever you want to tell me, but specifically what I was going to ask you in the survey is there anybody in particular that you would like me to interview so that you could be fly on the wall and listen to what they have to say? In fact, you can even feed me questions. Second question, and also if you know them, super cool, because I might ask you to help me get in touch with them. And then the next thing is, what category, what role in the industry is most useful to you? As you're probably aware, I've interviewed thought leaders and journalists and carrier executives and insurance association executives and insurtech startups and marketing gurus and specialists and, of course, successful agents. What do you want? So the extra lean part is you got to do a little work. Please, if you would take 30 seconds, email me, michael@agencyrevolution.com. Subject line, podcast. Tell me whatever's on your mind and how you would like me to, maybe even make this even better in the coming year. Now, that said, it is my privilege to introduce our guest today, Jeff Roy, CEO of the Excalibur Insurance Group, award winner, and I mean that literally. It's not often we can say that a lot of agents are winning awards. These are pretty serious ones. Aviva Canada's first Brokers Hackathon Award, he won it. And it's Safeco, Agent for the Future, which I think is still so new that it did not show up on his bio. So they are doing a tremendous job. I know that you are going to love this interview. He's one of the good guys and willing to, I think, to be a pioneer and to show the way and very generously show you what he's done. So now, without further ado, I do have one more thing I have to say. My producer definitely wants me to pass this on, and that is that we had a little technical glitch before Jeff and I had our conversation. I solved the glitch, and I think Jeff's audio came through fine. Mine, however, I am told, maybe did not. So we don't want you to think it's always like that. It's only like that when Mercury's in retrograde. So now I can say without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce this conversation and invite you to listen to Jeff Roy and myself. Jeff, the founder and CEO of the Excalibur Insurance Group. Enjoy.
Jeff Roy, how are you?
Good, Michael. How are you?
Well, I'm very, very good. Thank you. And thank you very much for joining us. I'm going to start with, sort of the thumbnail sketch. Jeff, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a broker, or in the U.S. called agent, from the Great White North of Canada here. I've been in the business for 29 years, so I've seen a lot of changes over the last little while, and basically been full-time brokering for approximately 24 years. So I got my license when I was 18. When I was in high school, my father wanted a backup plan in case he had any health issues and he needed some help in the summer. So I started in the agency business back then and working summers, and went to university, did a business degree, and got into the dark side of insurance full-time in 1994. So quite a ride.
So the agency, or the brokerage, the firm, it was your dad's, is that right? And then you...
Yes, it was... Yeah, it was a PA Roy Insurance Brokers at the time, and we had one other employee, myself, my dad, and one other employee. And over the next number of years, we set up a cluster or a group and formed the Excalibur Insurance Group. During that time period, we bought two other brokerages. And, you know, over that time period, you know, we've grown into the Excalibur Group, in which, you know, I've got a controlling interest in everything currently right now with two other people that are involved with me. So, and my wife also, Una, is involved on the management team. So, yeah, so a lot of changes over the last while. So,
yeah, right on. Okay. So I have a... maybe it's a bit of an oddball question, but clearly the majority of my listeners are in the United States, and I'm guessing somewhere between maybe 10 and 20% are Canadian brokers. Okay. So a reasonably good distribution considering the difference in the size of the markets.
Yeah.
And you possibly know, I spent a fair amount of time in Canada over the last many years. You know, prior to selling Agency Revolution, the Canadian market was really important to us. The Aviva sponsorship, our relationship with Aviva and their endorsement was really, really important as we were scaling up. And yep. Now it's been a while. I haven't been there. I haven't really spent a lot of time there other than to go to Toronto to see my granddaughters and my children. Yep. Yeah, I don't quite have the same business pull now. So I know that you spend a lot of time in the United States, so you have a fairly good sense of, you know, your fingers on the pulse of the industry here. So for listeners who don't know the Canadian market as well, I always found it interesting, fascinating. 80-90% similar issues, but there are always some differences. What do you see as the difference between the Canadian market and the US market?
I think the biggest thing is just we have one of the things that we have is we have a population that's quite a bit smaller than the US. We've got 39 to 40 million people, but yet our geography is massive, and generally 80% of our population lives within 150 kilometers of the US border. So we've got a very diverse land, and you know, we have a lot of agencies in the past that have only dealt in their own province historically, which is similar to an agent only dealing with states. But I've noticed over the last 5-6 years that a lot of agents have taken their programs and niches across the U.S. Likewise, we're seeing a movement in the Canadian market anyway that parallels the U.S., where a lot of people are taking their products across Canada because of digital marketing. You don't necessarily physically have to be there. So that shift from being a storefront to being a digital business, I'm seeing that on both sides of the border. So that kind of parallels it. But at least in Ontario, I see average premiums on auto a little bit higher. We've got quite a bit of government regulation on it. And I would just suggest we have more vastly population. 95% of the things in the U.S. are big concerns in Canada. And again, after spending a time speaking in the U.S. the last year and a half, we have the same troubles and the same problems that we're both trying to fix together. Just the wordings and the coverages may be a little bit different. The tools, some of the BMS vendors that we have on both sides of the border are a little bit different,
right,
but largely are doing the same task.
But by the way, when you say BMS.
Yeah, that's AMS, or Agency Management System, and then BMS is Broker Management System.
Right.
just another acronym. You know, there's a lot of acronyms in the insurance business, and I've got a bit of a dirty term I come up with. I won't use it, but there's a bit of a squaring involved. But there's a lot of acronyms, and you have to be very – most industries are good, but insurance is probably 20 times as bad for spouting out acronyms because every word is so big and complex, right? So
I would say
just Michael, just in summary, like, you know, my, you know, the people in Canada, US, there's not a lot of difference between between what's going on, and everybody's trying to build that customer experience right now and put a bunch of tools together to make sure that happens. So just it's how that's being done, and some of the players and actors people are using just are a little bit different.
It struck me that when I was active there, that the pace of consolidation was perhaps a little bit faster than consolidation in the United States, that there were a lot of agencies that were either buying each other up, or brokerages, or being purchased by a carrier. So it did seem that there was a lot of consolidation going on in that market.
And I'm not sure if that consolidation is outstripping the U.S., but we do have Intact Insurance that owns Canadian Broker Link, and basically they've bought a number of brokers, like they're well over $1 billion in premium. We have Western Financial Group that was a big entity that Walwyn East invested in, so you see some of that going on, and you see, you know, the hubs and some of the big aggregators buying up.
Right.
Agencies, you know, you kind of have the landscape where you have the big agencies, you know, as a tier one agency buying people up, trying to get scale. You've got people like yourselves that are digitally savvy, growing, adapting to technology. And then you've got the third level agents and brokers that want to do something, and they're doing okay now, but they don't know where to start. And then you got the fourth level agents that have no desire, like the ones that haven't even put a website up yet, and they're still using paper largely, that just don't need to, that don't want to change, and they're getting ready to sell. And that's kind of how a lot of companies are looking at things, is those four agents, and how do we move the threes into twos, and how do the twos get better? And you know, I point out there's another group of agents that kind of the startup and the scratch agents, and I see more of that in the US, where people are getting a contract using an MGA and getting into the business and starting their own business. That's more dominant, but that's kind of the landscape in Canada, and I'm sure you have a similar landscape in the US in terms of that, right?
Yeah, I very, very, very similar. I have a five stage model for the modern agency, and I'm sure it's very similar to yours, to your four stage. So you had mentioned, how do you get the threes into the twos? How do you get the twos into the ones, right?
Yeah.
Could you describe your perception or your vision of what that level one, that top level agency is in your model? What do they look like? What's different about them?
Well, there's a number of things. You know, one of the things I look at is the agencies at the top aren't in the insurance business first, in their experience business. So they're looking at, how do they show up and wow people at every touch point? And how do they use data and analytics to actually analyze all the touch points to make decisions? That's where the number ones are. So, you know, they offer clients choice, how to interact with their agency. So they offer fax, they offer internet texting, you know, they can Skype, the person can walk into the office physically. They give people choice because, you know, the bottom line is people want to do business how they want to do business with, not how we think they want to do business. So those agencies are connected and offer clients choice and provide experience. They have a chatbot. They offer a mobile app. They offer different ways to enable clients to do what they need to do. And these companies, these level one brokers, have a great culture. They've developed a culture in their people, because if your people can't deliver and do things for your clients, and your people aren't looked after, they can't provide the experience you need to offer it. So they offer, you know, a great people experience. They've got that looked after. They've got a strong brand. They understand, you know, I always talk about the Simon Sinek why. What is your why as an agent? You know, why do you exist? And a lot of people are too busy doing the what, and you know, they're in the insurance business, and that's their what, and they haven't thought of their why. Like, you know, at Excalibur, for instance, we are the champions of people, and how do we do that? We go above and beyond and make people's day. So we've kind of dialed in our why and our branding message to make sure that we stand out. You know, we don't want to look like every single agent and broker and use the same terminology. Like, I can save you 39%. Well, I can save you 41%. So they speak a little different language. The level one, the agent. agencies that are doing things differently and they stand out. You know, I always mention when I talk about the purple cow, how do you stand out like Seth Godin's purple cow and look different?
Yeah, right.
The other thing too is these people don't, their strategy isn't technology. They realize technology is not a strategy, it's a lever, and it's part of your strategy. It's important, but technology is not a strategy. So they actually are using technology to provide, you know, to accelerate that human to human connection. You know, they use social media, Facebook. They have a strategy to communicate with their clients and their prospects using social media tools, using email, using the different ways to do that. They've got that dialed in and they're building their community actively so they can actually amplify their messages and grab people's attention. One of the things I point out is the average human has a attention span of 8 seconds and a goldfish, I think, is 99 seconds, and you have less than half a second to grab people's attention. So these agents are figuring out how to make sure their message can grab people's attention and they are actually connecting with the clients at a different level. So that's, you know, some of the things these people are doing very well. They have a really good program. So there's a number of things they're doing. Like, there's not one thing, but if you look at a pro athlete, there's not one thing they do. There's about 15 or 20 little things. So these are all important things that they do to be successful. And
I only have about 41 questions that you just raised in my mind based on what you just said. So let me break it down, at least jump in on a couple of them. So let's kind of play this one for a moment here. Now, you had mentioned that the agents or the brokers are at the top. They're not in the insurance business first, and they're in the experience business. So let's say I am a customer of yours. Okay, let's imagine that Michael Janz is a customer of Jeff Roy's, and let's say I'm a deeply satisfied customer. What do you think is the experience? How would you describe the subjective experience that I have in the ideal relationship with you? You know, if you really fulfilled what you want to.
Yeah. First of all, you feel respected and connected with us, and you have a relationship with our team. You know, at Excalibur, we have dedicated account managers for each of our clients. We don't, you know, we don't have a call center. We don't, whoever pick up the phone, look after people. So we build that relationship. So we're really big on the H2H here at Excalibur. So when you call in, Michael, you know that Kathy's the one looking after you, and you've also got somebody to back you up. So you realize that we're going to reach out to you and communicate with you a minimum of 12 times per year. And we're just currently in the process of beefing that up to about 14 or 15 times to add some more touches. We give you a phone call 60 or 90 days prior to your renewal to do a check-in with you. And again, you may not want it. We ask whether you want a call or you want an email or text or whatever. And we do that protection review just to make sure that that our coverages and what we offer is up to date with your lifestyle. And as we communicate and offer more offers and different ways to engage with our consumers, we reach out and communicate those things to our clients. So
I feel I'm trying to grab some adjectives that describe my experience here. I would feel respect, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, presumably, based on what you just said, that now you've touched me 12 to maybe 15 times. You have respected my wishes about the way that I'd like to be communicated with, and you offer an annual protection review. Presumably, I also feel taken care of, protected.
Yeah, you have peace of mind. And, you know, again, same thing. We've also, again, a lot of people maybe don't want to talk to us on different hours. So you can engage after hours. And whether it's through our Excalibur University, whether it's through our chatbot, Aiden, or actually now we can now answer questions with an audio speaker with the Amazon Alexa and Google. So people can engage that way. So if you need to find information and we're not open, there's still ways that we enable you. So we enable you to do things when it's convenient for you, not convenient for us, in a way that you like. So that's something that Excalibur, we give people a choice how they interact with you. So we don't force you to send us a fax or do things something different. So basically we give you that protection experience and that connected feeling, and we make you feel part of our community. Like, we're doing a number of things in our community that's not about insurance to give back and help people. And we support a number of causes. So we hope that if you, you know, that you connect with some of our values and some of the things that we're doing. So it's not just all about insurance. So that's another thing that, Excalibur, that we try and do differently. We're an advocate. We shop your insurance. We look after pricing. Those are things that I look at as table stakes. Like that's what every agent does. Like, you know, you have a problem, we're an advocate. We go to bat for you. We help you out. We jump in at those touch points. We look at the price of insurance and your coverages and make sure that your policy keeps pace with your lifestyle and look after that. And that's currently what we're doing now. And again, we're trying to get it to the next gen right now. We're trying to, you know, as Wayne Gretzky says, go where the puck is going. We're trying to figure out how we can use predictive analytics and the different tools in the market to start anticipating clients' needs before they happen and start reaching out to them, you know, whether it's not so much in real time, but start finding things not so much at renewal, but all the time, that all the time connection in a way that's not creepy and intruding. You know, that's the other thing is, you know, there's ways to do things that are almost creepy. That's not, you know, nobody wants somebody that's creepy. You don't want Big Brother looking after you, but we're looking at ways to start anticipating needs, to start lead scoring our clients. So we can tell if somebody is, instead of being 100, they're at a 30 or 40 and they're at risk of leaving our organization. And what do we need to do? What haven't we done before it's too late to be able to add some touches or things in there that's of value? You know, at the end of the day, Michael, I think it's really important to point out that one of my favorite line is what registers on people's give a shit a meter. And that's probably the best way I've ever heard to explain, right? Because, you know, my job is to figure out, you know, what's important to Michael Janz as a client. You know, what are your interests? And probably the best way, the acronym we try and use is, I call it FORD, Family, Occupation, Recreation, and Dreams. We need to start learning that about our clients better. And I'll be honest, our AMS, Agency Management System, or Broker Management System, isn't good enough to capture all that data. So hence, on a mission to get a better one so we can actually have a better profile of the entire person, not just their risk profile, but the entire person, so we can connect it on a better level. So that's one of the things that I'm hopper right now that I've been researching. Yeah. And we have some ways to do that. So that's kind of, does that answer your questions?
yeah. You answered questions that I didn't even ask too. So you're giving me a lot of content here. So I'm going to ask more questions of you, Jeff.
Next yeah, far away.
You mentioned Excalibur University. So if I were a client of yours, what do I get? What's my experience of Excalibur University?
Yeah, we would. What we've done is we've got it searchable, but we've tried to put, when we get asked questions, we're trying to write more content that's not so much like, we all know you can write things from an SEO level where it shows up great in search, but it's not very readable, not very enjoyable. We're trying to build out our content in there. So if people have questions and want to learn more things, we try and show up with words and when applicable, video, because video is king. A lot of people like to consume things and we're big believers that it's nice to, you know, everybody learns differently. Some people are like to read, some are visual learners, some have to be physically engaged in it. So we give people a choice where we can of whether they consume a video, whether they use a click coverage. We use a product from Forge Insurance called Click Coverage, where people can click on a diagram, look at what coverages they need and interact with it. And, you know, videos, we produce our own and we use My Insurance videos from Mike Demko. Probably aware of Mike Demko, but we use his product for that, and we also create our own videos, and then we're writing blogs. And to be honest, we need to do more blogs. We've got a strategy next year to start writing more and more content. You know, our chatbot gets a lot of questions that we don't have answers for at this point. So we look at that question and how can we answer it better? How can we answer in different formats so that if one of our clients or a prospect has it, we want to try and do our best to be able to answer that question. So that's how Excalibur U, and we try to brand it like a university, trying to make it fun, you know, make it graphically engaging, use images to try and do it. So we've got a decent base set up there, but we need to do a better job, my opinion, of creating more and more content. So our 2019 strategy, we're going to be really doing a good job of building content that's engaging, but hopefully in a fun way that people can learn the way they want to learn. So
yeah. Okay. So let me ask you this one. I've had a number of agents who were guests on this podcast series who I felt were doing some really interesting things with technology and customer experience and integrating technology into the agency or the brokerage in such a way that it enhances the client relationship, deepens the client relationship, which has always been, and of course, one of my core values. Now, what's interesting about you, Jeff, of probably there are other interesting things as well, but one of the things that strikes me as interesting, you, like you said, you've been in this industry about as long as I have, right? 25 yeah. years plus, okay?
Yeah.
And so you know what a brokerage was like, what it felt like, the way it ran, the habits and the rituals and the processes in the 1990s, right?
Yeah.
And contrast that with today. So I have a couple of questions coming out of that. One is, what do you think is what's the challenge? What's the demand? What's the pressure on the entrepreneur, or as I like to call them, the insurepreneur, the agency principal? What is the demand on the agency principal today that perhaps did have a successful agency or brokerage in the 1990s or even the 2000s? What do you think the real, you know, entrepreneurial leader of the insurance industry, what do they need to do today that's so different than what it was back in the 90s?
Yeah, I think a couple things have changed in the world. Like the consumer has changed, and you know, how they consume. Like, it used to be really easy, Michael, to reach the consumer. If you remember back to the 90s, you had the big three. You had you know, direct mail, you had TV, you had print media in the papers, and you basically could put messages in blast and hammer people using those three medias. And if you used all three of them in conjunction, you had a better return by doing that, by crafting your message. At that point, now people aren't watching all the same TV stations. They're on Netflix. They're recording shows, so you can't reach people on TV. Papers have evaporated, and people are now going on Twitter and consuming things by looking at the news, by searching the top 10 events of the day, and getting stuff pushed to them. So that advertising's not there. The yellow pages have become irrelevant because people don't search and even use a yellow page. That's become obsolete. So clients, 70 to 80% of clients are starting their journey online. And as an agency owner, how do you show up online right now? You know, that's the big thing. Like, you need to work on real estate and your website, and you need to know a number of things. You know, is your website 10 years old in a glorified brochure from web 1.0? Do you have no reviews on your website? Like, people want social proof, and they want social proof from a third party service, not from you typing in your own reviews, you know, editorializing there and putting on your page. They want to look like Trustpilot or, you know, Shopper Approved or a third party site, or Google reviews to say, hey, this, you know, this person's the real deal, use them, or hey, watch out, they're not very good. So people are actually validating socially now, which before, you know, if you upset somebody, they told 20. Now, if you upset somebody, they tell 3,000 people, it can go viral. Right? So the stakes are a lot higher, that you can't make a mistake. Yeah. So you have to build it. So I it's important to really have a good website, be building content, and look at the metrics. Like, you know, a lot of people, one of the things we found out last year is our website was loading in 7 seconds, and that's losing. And our SEO took a big hit, and we actually lost about 100 to 120 leads in a month because our page was loading like a bag of hammers. And I found out, and now we monitor and we check it a lot tighter to make sure that never happens. So, you know, you have to be aware of, you know, what, how your page is loading, and then how are you engaging clients? Like, a lot of people love forms, but let's be honest, people are comparing us as insurancepreneurs, not just to other agents and brokers, but to every other industry. So if somebody gets a quote on Amazon on their book and they can buy it in seconds, why can't my policy be bought and looked after that quickly? That's a huge shift right now. And, you know, people didn't compare agents to other industries, but, you know, now you've got Amazon, you got iTunes, you know, even people on Tinder can go look shopping for their next significant other with the swipe of their thumb, right? They made everything easier. So, you know, back then you could have a lot of friction and people, you know, people tolerated it. They didn't need answers. They weren't as demanding. Now clients want things now. We're in the now generation, and they want it the way they want it, not the way you're offering it. So that's where, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to look at, you know, how do you show up in a digital world, and how is my experience, you know, how, and every touch point, you know, my staff is,
yeah.
Staff is either an ambassador or an assassin at every touch point. They're either getting a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And by the way, if you make one mistake could be enough to completely turf the relationship. Whereas before you know, if somebody made a mistake, you know, it wasn't quite as magnified, but people's expectations and patience aren't what they used to be. So, you know, consumers have changed. The technology has changed. The environment's changed. We've had a number of things change. So one of the things I talk to agents about is look at yourself as Disney, and you are building your amusement park, and you choose the companies or the rides in there that you offer and the services. You choose the people that deliver that service, and you choose the vendors and technology, and it's all to provide that Disney-like experience. And as an entrepreneur, you have to look at all the different tools and technologies you use and constantly get feedback from your clients. Are they happy? How's your net promoter score? Are you doing well, right? These are things that the new insurancepreneur has to start looking at how they do that. And you know, that's probably the biggest shift I've seen. The one term I don't love is the term digital, because, you know, people say I'm a digital agent or a digital insurer or a digital broker. Really, you know, if you remember back in the 90s when fax machines, or late 80s when fax machines were big, we didn't call ourselves a fax broker or a fax agent. When the internet came out, you didn't call yourself an internet agent. So it's not so much digital broker as you're using digital marketing to provide that experience. And, you know, so I think as an entrepreneur, insurancepreneur, you need to have a good technology stack and make sure those programs talk as much as possible. And unfortunately, there's some real barriers with insurance companies who haven't opened up APIs that prevent us from talking and doing what a new insurtech startup can do from scratch, which is kind of alarming. And that's one of our threats that we need to move on that. So does that answer your question?
Okay. Yeah. That does answer the question. What do you do, Jeff, to stay in touch with trends and to make sure that you're a lifelong learner?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's one of the, I think if Zig Ziglar had said it best, if you're green, you're growing. If you're ripe, you're rot. And it's important to make sure that, you know, never be, I like to be, I'd rather be a learn-it-all, not a know-it-all. Like, the more I'm learning right now about everything, the more I realize I really don't know that much. And I'm very humbled by what's out there. So one of the things we do at Excalibur is, you know, I think the first thing you have to be is don't be scared to fail. Like, there's a lot of people in the industry that, oh, I can't make a mistake, or, you know, I might look bad, or, you know, they've got fear of change or fear of the unknown. And, you know, fear can stand for forget everything and run, or it can stand for face everything and rise. You know, it's all about your perspective. And that's where in my organization, I always talk about launch, fail, learn, fix. That's a mindset and a culture I instill. It's okay to launch and fail. Like I think Reid Hoffman on Masters of Scale says it best, that if you've launched your product when it's perfect, you've launched your product too late.
I think what he said was, if you're not embarrassed when your product launches, you waited too long.
Imperfect is perfect, right?
I could look back and say, oh, then I absolutely did the right thing, because there was plenty that we were embarrassed about in the early days.
That's one of the things that you look at that, and it's like,
fail, learn, fix. I like it.
Yeah, because that's what, you know, hey, like, I'll give you an example. Our chatbot, we have it out there. It's not perfect. It answers about 125 to 150 questions. It's learning the content.
Where did you get your chatbot?
I'll jump into that. The chatbot, we use Joseph DeSouza, ProNavigator, and we actually worked on it for the last 2 years. And I was one of the brokers, myself and a guy named Adam Mitchell, who owns Mitchell Whale Insurance in Ontario. Yeah. We started building off our scripts to deliver, you know, taking our scripts, and we helped Joseph give him feedback as he built it. And, you know, that's an example of the mindset that you have to be able to, you know, we launched it, we're using it. It's not perfect right now, but we're learning. And every time a question comes in that it doesn't understand, we answer it, we start building on it. And the next version is going to allow us to put our own questions in, which is really cool.
You're willing, it seems that you have a reasonably high risk tolerance. In other words, you're willing to test things in the marketplace to see if they work and play with them, and either until they do or until you drop them.
I'd say I have some tolerance for risk. Let's be honest though, that you have, it's like a portfolio of stocks. If you got 10 stocks, five might do nothing, three might be disappoint you, but the other two that do well make up for all the other ones. We take calculated risk, but, and again, that's one thing we've learned is back to the original question of where we learn, like we're part of a number of different groups, or I am, and my team, like I'm part of Jason Cass's agents influence. And he's got a mastermind program that meets monthly. I'm a member of IAOA, and we attend the conference. I've been fortunate enough to speak there with Una. My wife Una and I have spoke there, which has been really cool. I was a member of Michael McLean's mastermind group for a number of years, and he's left the business, but learned a lot of great things from him. And you know, I'm part of Tech Canada, a group of CEOs that meet. It's a Vistage, they call it Vistage in the U.S., but you meet with people outside of your industry. So I'm meeting with people, nothing to do about insurance, learning from them, they're learning from me, and we're sharing and growing together. And they bring in some of the best speakers in the world to talk to us. We solve problems together. So I've learned a lot of things from there. And there's seven or eight other groups that I'm a member of that it's I don't know where the next great idea is going to come, Michael, but I know the chance of me finding it are a lot greater if I'm out making collisions,
being involved,
right? So that's kind of, I guess, my encouragement to all agents and people that listen to podcasts is meet people, take risk, ask questions, and be interested, have the mind of a child and have the curiosity and never lose that, because asking the hard questions and learning is what you need to do. You can't think that you've arrived, because insurance is just changing so much right now that you really got to be on your game, learning and applying and doing things, not sitting static. And there's a lot of people that are static right now that are doing very well, and they have a great business. But you know, Blockbuster owners had a really good business too for a period of time.
I think we talked about that last time we chatted. Netflix versus Blockbuster.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So you don't want to get Blockbustered, right? But anyway,
I think it was Jim Keys, the CEO of Blockbuster, said that Netflix is not even on our radar. So it shows what can happen if you're not paying attention to trends. And clearly there was Netflix had a strategy. It was a digitally based strategy that just came in and frankly kicked their butt.
Well, that's a scary part, because if you look at
use a term I never heard before, it should have been on their give a shit meter.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's too bad
apologies to the audience. This is normally a family show.
Well, I had to throw that in there because there's no other way to say the meter that properly that resonates.
It's a good one. I'm stealing that one, but I'll give you credit for it every time I use it. So I have two last questions for you, Jeff.
Yeah, sure.
First one, so I'm looking for a short answer. Am I asking too much here, Jeff? Maybe.
I can always give a short answer.
I'm looking for a short answer. All right. So let's say that the insurance industry was speeding down the highway at 85 miles an hour on the highway, and they got to see a billboard, but you know they're going fast, and so if you get too much beyond 8 or 10 words, they can't read it, right? So if you were going to deliver sort of a non-commercial message that mattered, that meant something to this industry, what would you say?
So in regards to, you mean the people in the industry?
Yeah. What would you say to the agents and brokers who are speeding down the highway? You know, they're trying to get where they're going. And now here's an opportunity for Jeff Roy to like, boom, I want to give you something to chew on. Give them something they can put in their pipe and smoke. What would you say?
Give you a couple things. Number one, I got this from Mike Strom. So regardless of your past, you have a spotless future. I think it's a great one. And, you know, spend some time. It's a famous one, but spend a day sharpening your axe instead of 40 days in the forest. Work on your business, not in your business. I think that's really important to do that at this point, especially when we're going into the planning season. Too many people are too into the, you know, the foxholes, and things are moving fast and changing, and you get wrapped up and you need to take some time to check out. And the third thing is learn your metrics. I think that's the most important thing. Learn your metrics. There's too many people that can't measure things and they're operating by their gut. So
very good. Very sound. All right. My last question. And I realize you have a busy schedule, and the last thing you want to do probably is take a whole bunch of phone calls. But if people did have questions or they wanted to learn more, how could they reach out to you?
Yeah, I think the best way to reach me is send an email to jroy@ei.ca. You can also follow me on social media, Twitter, jroy150 is another way to get a hold of me. And again, obviously my Facebook page or LinkedIn, feel free if you're in the insurance business, add me on the LinkedIn profile. It's funny, I have a lot of people that add me that I haven't really officially met, but I've spoke at a conference, and I'm very happy to connect with people, agents and brokers, because let's be honest, you never know when somebody might have something that can help you. And the bigger, like, we need to build networks and communities. So LinkedIn is a great place. You know, those are some spots where you can find me.
Very good. Well, Jeff, as always, been a pleasure. I look forward to our next conversation. Thanks so much for sharing your wisdom and insight today.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Enjoyed it. Have a fantastic day, and enjoy your next trip to Canada and into Toronto. So.
Right on. Well, I will, because I have two very beautiful granddaughters there.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.